Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Thank God that we're able to be here just another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy strength sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We thank God. Amen. We want you to know that there is one God and one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. So it's so important to know that there is one God, and His name is Jesus. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amen. You got to be born again. Amen. You have to be born of water and of the Spirit. If you're not, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeneth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together with in one place, with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothed in tongues, or divided tongues, like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that is what constitutes the new birth. When Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise to you, is to you, Jews, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's good for us to be here. No other purpose than to look in what James, the brother of our Lord, calls the perfect law of liberty, and that is none other than the word of the Lord. Like Peter said, the grass withered and the flower faded. Amen. But the word of our God shall stand forever. Peter says, surely the people is grass. Amen. But grass is the Spirit of the Lord is going to blow, amen, upon people. So like James says, our life is, what is our life? It's like a vapor. It appears for a little while. Then it vanishes away. So he said, Peter said, for all grass, all flesh is as grass. Talking about human beings, our frailty, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So that's what it's all about. Amen. What the word of God has to say about it. We know that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So we just like to welcome everyone on today, on this evening, and especially to our Twitter followers. Like to say welcome to you, all of our Blog Talk Radio followers and friends. Like to say welcome to you, and also all of our Facebook listeners, and even our new Facebook listeners. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, this particular program that you're listening to is called Truth Ministry. Truth Ministry, like Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we gotta have the Word of God, amen. And the Bible is the truth when it is rightly divided. So we want to make sure we'd like to give a shout out to a couple of also our colleagues in Blog Talk Radio. That is the Harriet Kamak Show. I believe she comes on later on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock, at the 8 o'clock hour when she broadcasts. And also, like to give a shout out to my brother, Elder Broderick Cannon, Evangelist Doris Cannon, on tomorrow at 6 p.m. That's Book Ministry. That's Book Ministry. So, like to thank God for them. And also, you want to email us at Truth Ministry, you can email us at Truth Ministry. 5525 at att.net. That is Truth Ministry 5525 at att.net. And also, our call-in number on the day, like we encourage people to call in to our show. We've been talking about the mystery of the church for the last 2 months, pretty much all year we've been talking about this, the church at Ephesus and the believers' position in the church. And you just can't pick up the scriptures, especially the Pauline epistles, the epistles period, because the epistles or the letters written to the church are written to believers who are already saved. So you can't do that. Just pick it up and say, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Listen what that's saying. It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? So that's the children's bread, are the letters to the church. What you have to do, if you have not been born again, you have not been born of water and of the Spirit, and that is what I mean by that, you haven't repented, you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues or other languages, just like they did in the book of Acts. Initially, on the day of Pentecost, when they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that the prophet Joel in 2 and 28 talked about, when the Lord spoke through the prophet, saying, it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. That means Jew and Greek, bond and free, male or female. In Christ Jesus, we are all one. There is neither male nor female. In the body of Christ, everyone is the same in the body of Christ. So we thank God for his word. So you've got to be born again. So this is what we're endeavoring to let people know, that you must be born again. So you have to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is, we call it the Pentecostal experience, that where that's come from. When people say they're Pentecostal, meaning that they have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues, or the Holy Ghost speaking in other languages. You're going to speak in another tongue or another language, not your native language that you were born in. So that's why you hear the word in the Acts of the Apostles, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and Peter the Apostle, if you read in the Word of God, Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So Peter was the man that had the keys. So Peter was the man who preached the first message on the day of Pentecost. And so the fifth verse, or we know the fourth verse, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were dwelling at Jerusalem. Notice this, the setting of this. At Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. This setting is on the day of Pentecost. And this was noised abroad. The multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. It's not some just no jibber jabber, but they were speaking in another language other than their native language. So God had all of these witnesses together on purpose. So here, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? No, they weren't. That's the question. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? A question. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya and Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Sometimes people run off with the wrong message, or they don't know what they're talking about, but we're not going to say nothing but what is written in the Word of God, what we call truth, what we call, like I said, my brother's show, they say, and that's book. So then some would say, when you hear a preacher preach, and the preacher is preaching the Word of God, and the preacher is dividing the Word of the Lord, you could say one word, as the gentleman who's going on to be with the Lord who baptized me in the name of Jesus, and that is, when he would hear the word, a preacher preaching the word, and the word was being preached, he would say one word, truth. And that's what we're endeavoring to talk about, is truth. So it's so important, the believer's position. So everybody can't just start. I don't care if you stop drinking, you stop smoking, you stop tipping around or whatever, you got to be born again. It's no sense in you going to try to work for a company, and even if you snuck in the back door and started working for a company, you got to go through the procedure. You're not going to get paid on payday. They don't recognize you because you have not been sanctioned by that company. That's what people are doing with the word of the Lord. That's what Jesus was saying. All that ever came me before me, he said, were thieves and robbers. He said, I'm the door of the sheepfold. By me, if you come in, you go out, and you shall find pasture. So you got to come by Jesus. So that's why we read in our intro, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was not done away with. But Jesus says, when he was baptized of John in the river of Jordan, he says, suffer it to be so, for thus it is for us to fulfill all righteousness. So the law was not done away with, but Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. That's why the Bible says what the law could not do and it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that's the key right there. Is what's important? The righteousness of the law is what is important. Romans 8 and 4. So that I just read the third and the fourth verse. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. What was weak through the flesh? The law was. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Here's the answer in Romans 8 and 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who? The church, the believers, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we, Apostle Paul said on another occasion in his second letter to the Corinthian church, he says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So that's the thing. That's why every man, and Apostle Paul said one time, it's better to marry than to burn. What burning was he talking about? He's talking about burning in your flesh or burning in your lust. So you got to control yourself. So we have a nature as men and as women, and so that and that's like somebody said, can you lust after your wife? That's good lust, because the Bible says in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God which bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. And it goes on to say, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So that's not the lust that he's talking about. You can't, that's not lust, lusting after your own husband or lusting after your own wife. That's who you're supposed to be with, is your own husband or your own wife. So there's nothing like getting and understand. So that's why, then people, there's another myth, another lie that people tell. So Jesus got right to the point when he was saying that if a man look on a woman to lust after her, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That's not saying you got to go ahead and complete the act. So, but the point that Jesus dealt with was the motive. So if you was to look at a man, if you were a woman, you looked at a man and said he was a nice-looking man, there's nothing wrong with that statement. Or a man making a statement that that is a nice-looking woman, there's nothing wrong with that statement. But it's what's in your heart is what counts. So people are looking on people to lust after them. So Apostle Paul, like we said in the book of Ephesians, was a very important book. So it told us how we should walk, things that we should do. So that's why we mentioned so many things as we went through these last 8-9 weeks when we went through the book of Ephesians, naming out things and talking about things that people do in the world. Because as a believer, he gave us wisdom, and he accepted us in him and our position that we have in him. So how he revealed himself to us, he gave us the earnest of the Spirit. Apostle Paul, you know, in the first chapter is actually a prayer, and also in the third chapter is pretty much a prayer also too, but he wants the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So people don't understand that. Jesus is God. He raised himself from the dead, knowing that God is a spirit. The divine essence of God is a spirit. So the spirit had to come to make himself a body. So that's why he said, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. So he had to come in a human body to be able to be the sin sacrifice. So the 22nd Psalm is the crucifixion psalm. The same words that you can hear the Lord uttering, that he uttered from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? So you can see these words right here. In verse 6, I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despise of the people. So that's what we are, our flesh. We're worms. Those worms are eaten up. So remember, they said this statement after he was crucified or when he was on the cross. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. All of these things here, how they looked on him, they gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water. All my strength is dried up. All these things happened to him. They parted my garments. Among them cast lots for my vesture. All these things that they did during that time. So the kingdom is the Lord's. He is the governor among the nations. They that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. They that go down to the dust shall bow before him. None can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him and shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. So that is the crucifixion song. But what I wanted to get to here, the Psalms 40th chapter and the 7th verse, the 6th verse, sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine eyes has thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering has thou not required. You go back and read in the Old Testament, they had to offer bulls, the blood of goats and bulls and heifers and pigeon doves. All of those offers, God had to have a blood offering. But verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. So he prepared himself a body. And we got the witness to that in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, how Jesus, the Lord himself, was the sin offering. So talking about those sacrifices that they did under the law, those sacrifices can never take, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereto perfect. But then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is remembrance again made of sins every year. So he is making a point here, those offerings that they were offering back then. So he goes on, verse 4, the 10th chapter of Hebrews, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he saith when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. That's the same quote that I read under the out of the 40th Psalm. Then said I, and burnt offering sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will. And when he saith, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we will will we are sanctified through, with through this will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. Here's the key. But this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So we can see what the purpose of this was. Then also, there's another word. There's two words. There's one word called, there's always been a church. Church has been in the mind of God. The church was in the tabernacle. Church was in the wilderness during those times, when he was a cloud by day and he was a pillar of fire by night. That was the tabernacle in the wilderness. That was the church in the wilderness. That was another word that the church was known by during that time, and that was the congregation in the wilderness is what it was known as. So, but in the New Testament, it is known as the church. So there are two of those terms that are used. They're interchangeable terms. So he would say he was going to declare his name in the great congregation. So in the book of Hebrews, it says he was going to declare his name in the church. So these terms are so very important, and there's nothing like getting an understanding when you do that. So in the book of Hebrews, what's so important about the book of Hebrews, the very first word, you never see this in the English language, not much, and that is you have one word and then you have a comma. So the book of Hebrews starts off saying, God, comma, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times and time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So what is the key here? And he's spoken unto us by his Son. The office of sonship is what he is talking about. He is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy Ghost in the church. So, goes on to say, by so much more, so much better than, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For under which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, said that to himself, forever is the sceptre of righteousness and the sceptre of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness, hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. You read another place, says that the heaven is the work of his fingers, I believe, in the 19th Psalm. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shall thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Let me fast forward. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. Jesus is the Almighty God, not just the Mighty God. But which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? So in other words, these people talking about they meeting angels and all of that, that's folly. You don't do what an angel tells you to do. Not nowadays you don't do, but God has using humans to preach this gospel. So that's why he said in the Galatians, the first chapter, he said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. As I so said, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel than that which we preach, he said, let him be accursed. So somebody supposedly had met an angel. This is after, years after the day of Pentecost, met an angel. Then that angel just cursed that man and cursed that religion that man started. That's what the Bible is saying. So what is he saying about the angels? The next verse, Hebrews 1:14, concerning the angels, he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So that's so important, because you don't worship angels, but you worship God. Now, in the Old Testament, the Bible says the angel of the Lord, there are in cases in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord was the Lord himself. He hadn't revealed his name. They knew him, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew him by the name of God Almighty, Exodus 6:3. But he says, but by my name Jehovah was I not made known unto them. So there's importance in a name. That's why most people, they don't want no no-brand clothing, shoes, or be it, whatever the case may be, electronics or whatever, but a name is important. And so that's why Acts 4:12, they are talking about on the discourse coming on up in the message. And so they said, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And they were talking about the name of Jesus in Acts 4:12. So remember, I made mention about the church was in the wilderness. The church was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The congregation in the tabernacle in the wilderness. But here's what I wanted to get to. Hebrews 2. So in the second chapter of Hebrews, and I want to start reading at the 9th verse. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. For this cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Here's what I wanted to get at. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of church. There it is, which will I sing praise unto thee. The word church is the selfsame word, tabernacle and congregation, that was used in the Old Testament. So the church is the ecclesia. The church is the called out one in the New Testament. So the church is not the building. But the church is the body of believers. The church is the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. So this is what we've been trying to get at. So this is what we're talking about. We were talking about the believer's position in the church. That is so very important. It is essential, amen, that you have to have the born again experience, because you're not in the church if you have not been born again. There's not just, oh, I believe these lying preachers on TV to tell you this lie. I'm crushing it right now. God didn't send no preacher, put him on TV to make you feel good and say that's all I want to do is make people feel good. And they got thousands of people following them. Remember, that's the Broadway. Remember, he was saying in the 7th chapter of Matthew, straight is the gate and wide is the way, broad is the way that leadeth into destruction, and many be there that go in thereat, because narrow is the way and few be there that leadeth unto life. So that's a small way compared to the Broadway. So there's no such thing as these lying preachers on television to tell you, repeat after me. And then they'll tell you, now you're saved. And I tell you, that is a lie. You're not saved. Jesus said, told the disciples before his ascension, in the 24th chapter of Luke, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Thus I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So what did I say? He said, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. What name? The name of Jesus, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You go to Mark, the 16th chapter, the 15th chapter, and the 16th verse. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So, and he said, he that believeth, people say they believe, and is baptized shall be saved. So you got to not just believe, you got to do something about it. You got to repent and believe the gospel. So you got to put it all together. That's why we know that the Bible is the truth when it's rightly divided. So he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Believe the gospel message. He that believeth not, get some consequences too. He that believeth not shall be damned. So people say that, I be damned. No, he that believeth not the gospel shall be damned. You don't want to be damned. Like I used to tell people, when I ministered in the prisons, people would say, hell yes, hell yeah. And I would say, you should be saying no to hell. Matthew 25 and 41, hell was made for the devil and his angels. Hell was not made for us. So we got to believe the gospel message. So we believe the word of the Lord and follow the word of God. And there are people that are scared to get into the book of Revelation and deal with those things that are going to be here and after. Because after the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, that door was open in heaven. That's when the church is gone. And the church is looking back on the earth. After the fourth chapter of Revelation, the church is in heaven. Now the church is going to come back and fight in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. We can see. You got to understand all of those things that's going to happen to the church. And the Lord's going to come with 10,000 of his saints. He's coming to fight. He's coming to execute judgment. So we've got to believe the word of God. So you can't. So you want to really have joy. You want to really be able to rejoice. You want to really shout for joy, which you shout with your voice. You want to dance. You want to have the victory. You got to be born again. You got it. You got it, like the Bible says. That's why people, you see people dance, as people rejoice in the Lord. And it's not just an emotional thing, but when you're born again, it's real. So you can't so-called grab your place, pick up the word of God, and read the book of Ephesians and say that's talking to you. No, it's not talking to you if you've not been born again. That is a lie. That's a letter written to believers. Now, one of the most important, Apostle Paul wrote the 14 Pauline epistles. Two very important epistles that he wrote was to 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians that he wrote to the church at Corinth, which were people already saved or having moral problems. He had to set the church in order. So, what is the point in that book of Ephesians? I mean, the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, the letters to the Corinthian church, is that they were very gifted people, but they had problems. Nothing had like this had ever happened before, so Apostle Paul had to set them in order. So this is why God, you have to be in a local church. And that's why the Bible says in Psalm 68 and verse 6, God setteth the solitary in families, plural. That means you got to have a local church. But he goes on to say, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. So you can't just read the Bible for yourself. You got to be taught by some man or woman, because there's neither male nor female. You can have a female pastor, you can have a male pastor, but you got to have leadership has to teach. So that's why Apostle Paul said, the things that I have seen and are taught among many witnesses, he says, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. You cannot teach nobody something that you haven't learned. And I mean, it's amazing. We don't want people, when it comes in the spiritual, when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to biblical things, we try to act like everybody, you can read your Bible for yourself. Isn't that something? But we're promoting people to go to school. Public school, you got to go from kindergarten or preschool to the 12th grade and then go to college or take up a trade or whatever. But you can't just get the books and learn on your own. No, you have to be taught by a man, or you have to be taught by a woman. Now, we know people say they're self-taught. That is one of the biggest lies that ever was told. You're not self-taught. Somebody had to teach you. You had a beginning. You didn't just pick up the coloring book or whatever and knew your colors, orange, green, yellow, and blue. You didn't just know your alphabets by yourself, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way to your 26 alphabets, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. No, you didn't know those all by yourself, but someone had to teach you. They had to instruct you. They had to show you. So why is it we don't want people to tell us about the word of the Lord and then how you got to be born again, how you have to believe the gospel, and how the gospel was committed to 12 men initially, the men that Jesus chose. That's why I say I like to go back to the 17th chapter of St. John, which is the Lord's Prayer. Those other places, that's not the Lord's Prayer. We say that. That's the model prayer. Our Father which is in heaven. He didn't say repeat after me. He told them what to do. Pray after this manner. But the Lord's Prayer, I don't pray for these only, but also for them, Holy Father, which shall believe on me through their words. So you got to understand who he is. So to get the revelation of who Jesus is, definitely it is a revelation of who Jesus is, and everybody don't know who he is, but you have to be taught it. And Apostle Paul was taught it, taught the word, because you don't know it by yourself, but you have to be taught it. So the Spirit of the living God will reveal it to you, but you have to be taught by the man of God or the woman of God. Like I said, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, but you are all one in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. So in the body of Christ, we are all one. Now, there are different offices in the body of Christ. That is true. So everyone has to be in their place. So there's gifts, there's diversities of gifts. So everybody don't have the same gift, but what people have, the gift that they have received from God, so they're able to teach others, to help others, to show others the way. Just like me, I got saved August the 11th, 1976, on a Bible class night. I went to Bible class. After Bible class was over, I knew that I could not leave that place, that God was dealing with me, and my wife already had got saved 10 days earlier. I got baptized. I said I was seeking the gift of the Holy Ghost. I didn't know. All I knew I wanted to be saved. I knew I wasn't right. I came up in the Baptist church. They didn't talk about holiness and being filled with the Holy Ghost and all that. That was, people was doing what they want and coming there, putting on a mask, putting on a face on Sunday mornings. It was almost laughable, talking about prayer meeting in the Baptist church. It was just not so. We did what we wanted, and then you got to feel conviction. I knew I wasn't right. In church, shaking because you was hung over, had the shakes or whatever. I knew I wasn't right. That August 11, 1976, that Bible class night, I got baptized in the name of Jesus. I repented of my sins. I made up my mind. I want to live for God. I got baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of my sins, or remission of sins. They're not my sins. But he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And, oh, yeah, I've been had trials and tribulation, but I'm still here. 35 years later this year, or 36 years, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So I know it's not by might, it's nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So this is why we were encouraging people to call in on the day. Our call-in number, 646-716-6566, 646-716-6566. So, and forgive me if I didn't give the number out at the beginning of the program, because we're going to also probably, we're going to give you a chance. You're welcome to call in at any time, because we're going to be pretty much trying to continue, because we can't exhaust this book on next week. Call in number 646-716-6566. So he was praying and letting the people in the church at Ephesus know what position that they were in. So sometimes people, like I said, self-taught people, so they say, but they're not. But he lets them know, even here, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So that's why he says, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are ye saved, and through faith. You know, it's not of yourselves. Verse 8. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Because people would be doing that. Yeah, I always wanted to be saved. No, you didn't. That is the biggest lie that people could tell. No, you didn't always want to be saved. You did your thing. So God has to deal with you and work in your heart and call you, and you have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we weren't, you know, just like you said, remember this book was written to Gentiles. We want to definitely be able to make sure that we stress that. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, without Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision. That means the circumcision was the Jews, the uncircumcision was not a Jew, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So that's an interchangeable term. Sometimes the Bible says they of the circumcision, talking about the Jews. In the 10th chapter of Acts, he's talking about Jew and Gentile when he says that. But he goes on that at that time you were without Christ. He's talking to Gentiles, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You Gentiles is who he's talking about. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off. Remember he was saying we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, then he goes on to say, you got to, the previous verse ties in, ye who sometimes were far off, the Gentiles, he says, you are made nigh or made near by the blood of Christ. He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Remember when Jesus was crucified and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom? That's why the Hebrew writer says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, and I never forget, I heard a message by one of our late bishops preaching in the 6th chapter of the book of Mark, in the 6th chapter of St. John, Jesus walking on the water and coming toward the disciples. He had told them to go to the other side. They saw him walking on the water, coming toward them. They cried out for fear. They thought he was a spirit. Another one of the writers said he would have passed by, talking about Jesus. He was walking on the water. And the Bible said that he would have passed by, but they cried out. And the message was, cry out to him, or he'll pass right by. So we know in John's gospel, in John 6 and 31, I believe it is, they received Jesus into the ship, and to show you who the master is, that he is God with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. When they received Jesus into the ship, John, the writer, said, and immediately they were at the other side, whether they went. Now, one writer says how many furlongs that they rowed. They rowed before they got to the other side. That's not what John says. I love what John says. So, they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs. They see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship. They were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. And then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. I'm still trying to get that. Amen. Shows you he's God with us. And like he said, let us go. We know about the storms. We read the one storm that they were in. And Jesus was asleep down in the bottom of the ship. And they said, save us, we perish. And he was saying, why are you so fearful? He came and rebuked the wind and said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. But you got to know, if God said, let us go to the other side, he's not taking you out there for you to drown. He's not taking you out there to lose you. He didn't save you to lose you. So they went to the other side just like he said. So, he is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. He is the apostle of our profession. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the captain of
our salvation. He is the which was, the which is to come. He is, I'm talking about Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the first. He is the last. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning of the creation of God. Amen. He's the which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen. He is the blessed and only potentate. That means supreme ruler, King of kings, and Lord of lords. He is the one that said, I send my angel to testify these things in the book of Revelation, the last chapter. He is the one that said, surely I come quickly. So he is the Lord God Almighty. He is the Lord of hosts. Amen. He is the great I am. Amen. He is the way. He is the truth. Like somebody said, let's talk about Jesus. The King of kings is he. The Lord of lords, supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Said, let's talk about Jesus more and more. So that's what it's about. Amen. He is the head of the church, which is his body. So if you're in the church, if you have been born again, you are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And like we said, I believe on last week or either the week before, because we're just kind of recapping a little bit here on the day. So, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This is a mystery right here, and it's going to say it again, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He's talking about Christ loving the church, your husband loving your wife, as Christ loved the church. So he goes on, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. We are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. This cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, he said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Catch that part up there when he says he's going to present it to himself? I told you Jesus is God. He's going to present the church to himself. So what is he saying? A man leaving his father and mother shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So that is a blessing, because everyone is supposed to be respected. So we all have our place. So we're supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And so that's mutual, it's respect. Your wife is your sister. Your husband is your brother. So you're with one accord. Ain't nobody better than nobody. Ain't no big I or no little you. But thank God that we're in the place that he put us in. And so one thing I got to say about that, I don't see no two men in that picture, husband and wife. I don't see no two women in that picture, husband and wife. This cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Two men can't make a baby, and two women can't make a baby. You got to have a man, you got to have a woman to be able to procreate. But in marriage, it's not just for procreating, but it's for pleasure also, because God made it that way. So we thank God for that. And thank you today for listening to Truth Ministry, and we hope this broadcast has been a blessing.
And so, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you.